Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon to this interview, special interview with Dr. Muhammad Shahid Amin Khan, head of International Human Rights Commission and chairman of World Peace Mission Organization from Pakistan. He's also a journalist and he has a PhD in international law. He holds an honorable doctorate degree, or many honorable doctorate degrees, but one of them is in humanity and human rights, right?
True.
Dr. Khan, welcome to our special interview.
It's my pleasure to be here with you.
Welcome. Can we start by just telling the Syrian people who have you met in this visit and who are you planning to meet? What's on your agenda?
Well, after a year having a diplomacy on the Syrian issue as a policy of the International Human Rights Commission as its head, I decided to come over the Damascus to meet the general public, to meet the journalists, advocates, and especially the peoples of Syria, to look the Damascus, how Damascus is, because international media and the some media of the Gulf is portraying a very bad image about the Syrian situation. And it was my responsibility as a head of the international organization to be here to investigate and monitor the situation, what is the ground reality. So I decided to come here, and I am very much thankful to the peoples of Syria who had kind enough to provide me a real facts which are on grounds. And I will definitely include my observation into the my ongoing and coming report. And I hope that the peoples of the world, the rest of the world, will know the real situation. Okay, what is the Syria and how is the Syrian life and how the peoples of Syria and especially the young generation is thinking. So this is what I can say, that I met a lot of people. I met the organization of the lawyers here as well. If I got time, I will definitely visit the Damascus University to meet the students as well. On the roads, I have seen the life of Damascus.
And ordinary people in Damascus.
And ordinary people, yes, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm here, let me tell you one thing. It's an astonish for me when I inform my family and my colleagues that I'm going to Damascus. They told me, we will pray for your life.
And I said, so the reaction was absolutely depending on the Western media.
Well, of course, this is what the reality is. That the Western media, I will not say only the Western media, I will say Western interest media. I mean, Western interest and Western media is something different. When you have a Western interest, you turn yourself as in Western media or Eastern media. So at this moment, the Gulf is playing also a very bad role, because the Gulf countries and Gulf media is always portraying the negative image of the Syria and the Syrian peoples and the public of and the government of Syria as well. And this is what the people's thinking about abroad. As I told you that I came here and I asked just inform to my family and my colleagues that I am moving from Beirut to Damascus, and they said, Ambassador, don't go there. I said, why? I said, because the situation is this, and I said, look, as an international organization chief, it is my obligation to be there to see what is the ground reality going on and into the Damascus.
And what was the difference between what you heard, read, and saw on television or the press before coming here and after coming here? The difference between what you saw and the reality on the ground?
Well, I will tell you one thing. I was very much aware about the Damascus situation. But if I will say into the media that I am aware, they will say that might be I am lying. Because I never visited Damascus in these days. So what they call, I am risking my life, I came here to see. And what I was thinking and what I know the realities and even not before the visit, that realities are existing. The pupils are walking on the streets. Pupils are having a day-to-day work. Today morning when I was going to meet journalist in our one newspaper, I was stuck in that traffic. So what do you think about that? The city who is lively living and I am stuck into the traffic. So what the Western media says, what the Gulf media says, so now I will be having words with everyone that you are lying, because I have seen here what is going on the ground, realities here.
And it's very different.
Obviously, it is different for their expectation, for not my expectation, because I was, as I told you, that I was aware about the reality of this Damascus and Syria. But the problem is, if I am not visiting, they will say, how you know?
Right.
So now I'm here, and from here I'm saying, look, I am on the roads of this Damascus. I am with the peoples of the Syria. I am moving freely, let me tell you, when I rejected the idea to having a protocol here, and I said that I don't need any protocol. I'm going to the peoples of Syria. I'm not going to meet as a guest of the government of Syria. Then they said, if anything happened, I said, no. If I am going with the peoples of Syria, as much as they love their life, they will also care about my life.
Of course.
So this is what the bottom line is. And those people who are not understanding this situation, they are mistaken. Because will of the people cannot be crushed by the wish of people. So the wish can be remain wish, and will be succeeded. So the will of the people of Syria is this, they defend their motherland. They want to live in a peaceful manner as a peaceful society.
As it used to be, right. And I think that during your visit, you have saw some or heard about the kidnapping, the sabotage of the terrorist groups. I'm sure that you have heard in the news about the kidnapping of some of my colleagues, of some of the journalists, and also the sabotage of television centers, explosion in Al Akhbariya news channel. So what do you think about that, and the role of the commission towards these issues?
I will tell you a very straight policy in this regard. First, International Human Rights Commission always condemned any aspect of the terrorism. We cannot.
Yet they didn't condemn the explosion of the news channel, but they stopped the Syrian channels from airing on some of the.
Let me tell you that the situation. What is the situation? Look, there are many international organizations who has been paid, sponsored by the so-called powers.
So international organizations.
Yes. And you cannot imagine from them that they will talk about the human rights. They use the slogan of human rights for their Western interest. They never talk on the human rights. So when they're not talking about the human rights, when they are not talking for the to saving the life of the human being, then which kind of the human rights activists and which kind of the human rights organization they are? For that reason, International Human Rights Commission always condemned the terrorism across the world. It is not, I'm saying, about Syria only, across the world. Whether one terrorist will blow up in Afghanistan, or whether they make any tragedy in America, or whether they are doing in Syria. Terrorism is not acceptable at all according to the international human rights standards. So there is no way that we will not condemn. I will say that we strongly denounce and condemn the all kind of the terrorism which is taking place by the sponsored terrorists of the few countries, which are, I would say, the sponsored terrorists. So that there is a difference. There is some peoples who made themselves as a terrorist, and there is some peoples who are sponsored by someone to be a terrorist. So the sponsored terrorist in Syria is highly and strongly condemnable, whether it is on with the journalist, whether it is the
ordinary people,
whether it is on the property of the peoples and the government installation, because government installation are the property of the public. That
exactly.
is not the property of the government.
Exactly.
So this is...
It's taken from the money and
the
hard work of the ordinary people.
This is for that reason there is no exception about this. Number second, you talk about that kidnapping of the journalist. Well, our colleague in Italy, international organization, those that organization is also a part of the government, public, I mean, that's a public organization also, Interdepco. They requested me, his chief requested me to convey to the Syrian government to do something for the release of the Italian and Russian. Although they are concerned with the Italian, but they said that you ask the government during your visit. And yesterday night when I met the Minister of Justice, I asked and requested on behalf of the Interdepco and on behalf of the International Human Rights Commission that the government of Syria has the obligation to do whatever they can do for the release of the victim, of the kidnapped peoples, whether they are the journalists or whether they are the common foreign men or whether they are the Syrian. So there is no exception between the journalist or between the lawyers. They are all human.
Of course, they are all human.
So the Minister of Justice assured me on behalf of the Syrian government that whatever means, whatever possibilities in the hand of government of Syria, they will try level best to get release of that all kidnapped.
We hope that all kidnapped
but
people
the situation
will go
is
back.
This, as we discussed, situation is very opposite of that, because the kidnappers who kidnapped the journalists and the Syrian peoples and the foreign citizens, they are hide out in the land of Turkey. And Turkey is responsible of this crime. On behalf of the Lebanese people, those who has been kidnapped by the so-called Free Syrian Army or by the so-called of the opposition, whatever you will say, they are a bunch of terrorists. Well, there is a difference. Those who don't have an arm in their hand, they are opposition. Those who have the arms in their hand, they are the terrorists. Because opposition cannot be with the weapon. Let me tell you one thing, one reality. I'm talking about the reality. My country has many sacrifices for the democracy. It starts from the establishment, independence of Pakistan, towards the death of Mrs. Benazir Bhutto. We lost many leaders, but we never take the weapon in our hands.
So do you see any resemblance between terrorism in Pakistan and terrorism in Syria?
Well, yes, of course. 100% there is a resemblance. There is not resemblance. The Syria is a victim of the same terrorism which is the victim of Pakistan is the victim. Because it is that Al-Qaeda. It's the same Al-Qaeda who was fighting in Afghanistan against the American occupation. An American over there says that they are terrorists. And the same Al-Qaeda, when it was paid by Saudi Arabia and sent it on the borders of the Syria to disturb the Syrian peace and to disturb the present regime, that called they are the opposition and revolutionary group. This is the double standard we are seeing. And we are not believing on it that this double standard can work out in the Middle East. So that Al Qaeda and this Al Qaeda, they are the both brothers.
So they are the same.
They are the same, and they for this reason, International Human Rights Commission have no double opinion and policy, as the Al Qaeda of Afghanistan, and we demand the terrorism ended by the Taliban in Pakistan. Those who are killing the innocent pupils, those who are blowing up the schools of girls, those who have done the terrorist attack on the innocent girl who is now in United Kingdom, Malala Yousafzai, if you heard about that.
Of course.
So these, if they are terrorists, then what the Syrian opposition, so-called Syrian opposition, who is getting the money and the weapons, from where they are getting the weapons, from where they are getting the money, that is the Turkey, that is the Saudi Arabia, that is the Qatar. And Qatar is also always playing the bad and dirty games towards the peoples of the other Muslim countries, because the Turkey is the base of the Israeli intelligence. And Turkish king, Qatari king should be brought in front of the International Court of Criminals. As much as we demand from the Saudi Arabia, Arab Emirates, and the other rest of the so-called dictators and kings to restore the democracy for their country.
People. But they are condemning, they are saying that some other countries and regional countries are interfering in their...
If you are talking about the Iran, so Iran has the democracy. They are not interfering. Why they have to interfere? Because the Saudi Arabia always interfere in the internal affairs of Iran. So it is a common thing. You know, this is the natural solution of this, that to hide out my crime, I put finger on you. So the Arab worlds and so-called kings are doing the same thing. They want to hide out their crimes against humanity, crimes and violation of human rights into their own countries. They are saying that the Iran is interfering into the region. Or they want Bashar al-Assad should be get out because they want to serve in Syria the Israeli agenda. And America is very happy because the Arabs are doing this.
She's having a war that she will never really pay lives of her American people.
For that reason, they are not losing anything. What they are going to lose?
So Arabs are killing each other, and she's just watching.
Yeah, and they are encouraging. Americans are encouraging them. Okay, do the fight, kill each other. So this is the happening.
Mm-hmm. Right. As the first agent to head the International Human Rights Commission, does this puts on you more pressure and makes you more responsible to solve the problems of the region, region?
As a head of International Human Rights Commission, yes, of course I have a pressure on me to solve these issues, because it is a wish of the peoples of the world that we should intervene to stop the killing and bloodshed. Of course, some government wants me to stop. We have the bilateral issues with the so many countries, so the communication is a very easy to say, whatever to say. So I think that those countries, those who are putting pressure that International Human Rights Commission should stop its activities to bring the peace in Syria, they are mistaken.
You will keep?
I will not only keep, I will keep until that end, okay, where the one person is not living into the peace. I will not stop this, because the saying the truth, it's if I am saying the truth and it will take my life, then I think I will be honored and rewarded. Because after that, the many of my followers will stand against those oppressions governments.
Right. What do you think about the importance of dialogue in solving Syria's crisis?
Let me tell you one thing more in this, that we had initiated this dialogues. I mean, we are very much aware that what is the importance of dialogue. So for that reason, we conveyed to the so-called Geneva-based opposition as well. My officials are in contact with them. And they're pursuing that they should come on the negotiation table. They should let down their arms, because until and unless anybody have an arm, we will not talk with them, because we are not obliged to. It's against the norms of the dialogues. It's against the norms of the table talks and negotiation. So as they will ready, put down arm, and not to be agent of any other country. If they are a Syrian, might be they have the conflict with President Bashar al-Assad. Might be. Everybody can have. But what is the solution? As you told, there is a solution of negotiation. And if they don't, for example, if they don't believe President Bashar al-Assad, the International Human Rights Commission can host that. We can host that. We are ready to facilitate the government of Syria and the opposition to come on a negotiation. And we will sit between them as a partner, as a guarantor, as a facilitator. Until and unless you have the weapon in your hand, we cannot push the President Assad to come and sit with them.
Even with this situation, the Syrian government tried since the beginning of the crisis to ask for all the opposition to come to the table of dialogue.
I know. This was the initial stage. We also tried. Now we had take the stand on it, because it is our stand now. I don't know what will be the stand of President Assad, because he's a head of a state of the Syria. He have to look many aspects, but I am not obliged to have the political aspect of it. So I am not ready to talk with the terrorist. It is the same word what the President Bush says, what the Tony Blair says in when they invented Iraq, and when they invented Libya, and when they invented Afghanistan. You are with me or with them. So I'm the same word I'm saying. I'm not with the terrorist, and I cannot stand with the terrorist, and I cannot talk with the terrorist.
Would you encourage other personalities from international organizations to come and visit Syria and see on the ground what's really happening?
We are hosting an international conference. Although it's a series of the conferences, mm-hmm. So we are hosting the international conference in February in Lebanon.
And
in February in Lebanon. We are inviting the many head of states to be there. Many international organizations will be there. I mean, it will be a great
opportunity
to Syrian government and organizations to come over there and to be a part of that conference. To explain what they want. Mm-hmm. And I assure the peoples of Syria that the delegation after that conference of the international organization will come here in Damascus, and they will walk with the peoples of Syria.
So do you think that such visits or such conferences will help the people of Syria to get rid of terrorism?
Obviously, that is a measures we have taken to build a pressure on those who are now having in joint hands to
the countries that are supporting terrorism.
I can say that. See, of
terrorists.
Course, I am saying that those peoples and those countries who are harboring and sponsoring the terrorism and terrorists into Syria, they will be looked towards themselves, because we are making a very strong consensus and very strong campaign against those countries for restoration of democracy. And even I had requested to the Minister of Justice of Syria, and I will in the end of my visit, I will be also having a meeting with the Syrian officials. So I will ask them, being as a member of the ICC, you should launch a complaint into the International Court of Criminals. International Human Rights Commission will give the proof.
Right. So we have the first step already taken.
Of course, we already first step has initiated and taken, and we are no way okay we will stop ourselves behind that, okay, that we will not put the criminals into the court of justice. So we will put them into the court of justice if they are not going to stop their criminalities against the humanity
and against the Syrian people. I would like to go back a little bit to the destruction and sabotage in Syria, because all Syrian people are suffering from these acts, these terrorist acts, the kidnapping also. But mostly, I would like to talk and ask you about your opinion and where it would lead such sabotage and destruction of public properties. What do you think this will lead?
Well, as I told you, that public property is a public property. It has nothing to do with the government. Public has paid a large amount and price to build and construct that properties. As I told you, sabotage and blowing up the property, a public property, destruction, the installation, it's always led a country to be in stone ages. So if they think that the Syria will go into the stone ages, so they are mistaken. I will say that one day, it's my word from with you here, after some time, they will not even find a place to hide out, because these countries will stop funding them. And I'm sure they will. If they will not, then they will face the movement of democracy into their own countries. It is in their own interest. If they will want to remain the king of Saudi Arabia, Amir of Qatar, and Amir of Law and Amir of Law, then they have to stop harboring terrorism into the other countries. Or otherwise, their pupils are demanding from a democracy from them.
From them. Mm-hmm.
Look at the situation of Bahrain. They killed many pupils, and they saved the only Bahraini Amir. And it is happening in Saudi Arabia. Let me tell you one thing. Saudi Arabia is facing the problem also. And it will also come into the UAE if UAE will not understand. UAE is the one country who is bit better than the other Gulf states.
Maybe because most of its people are not foreigners.
Foreigners and somehow educated. And what is the education of Bahraini Amir? What is the education of Qatari Amir? Let me tell you, my secretary is more educated than them. My secretary is more educated than them. And as so far, if they are comparing with the President Assad, President Bashar al-Assad is entitled to write before his name Dr. Bashar al-Assad. He is a medical doctor. He is educated than these so-called leaders. And if they want to compare themselves with the Hugo Chavez, if the so many European even, so Hugo Chavez is much better than the many of them. And if they are comparing with the Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, let me tell you, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is the simplest president of the world. He's the simplest president of the world. He served his country more better than any European head of the state can serve. And they are against of him because he is living in the people.
He's modest.
And this is and he is more educated than them. So those rulers who have the stick for even run, they cannot run themselves. So they are demanding. They are demanding the change into the Syria or change into the Iran, and sometimes they demand to change in Pakistan. In my own country, they do the same thing. They don't care. They don't care. And if Pakistan is not listening to them, they're threatening Pakistan.